The Rocking Horse Winner by D.H. Lawrence. Chapter 1. There Must Be More Money. Paul Jennings lived with his parents and two sisters in a big house with a lovely garden. His parents liked expensive things, and they always wanted to be better than their neighbours. The problem was, there was never enough money to pay for everything. Paul's father, Edward Jennings, worked in an office in town. He was good at his job, but he didn't make a lot of money. He and his wife bought expensive things anyway, and they were always in debt. At last, the mother, Hester, said, "We need more money. I'll get a job too." But she didn't know where to begin. She tried different jobs, but she wasn't successful at any of them. "The children are growing up," she said. "They must go to school. There must be more money. There must be more money." And so the house became haunted by the mother's words. "There must be more money. There must be more money." The children could hear it all the time, but it was worse at Christmas, when the playroom was full of expensive toys. Behind the rocking horse, behind the doll's house, they heard a whispering voice. "There must be more money. There must be more money." The children stopped playing and listened for a moment. They looked into each other's eyes, and they knew they all heard it. The voice was all over the house, but nobody said the words aloud. "Mother," said Paul one day, "most of our neighbours have got cars. Why haven't we got our own car? Why do we always use Uncle Oscar's or take a taxi?" "Because we're poor," said Hester. "But why are we poor?" asked Paul. "Well," Hester said in a sad voice, "it's because your father hasn't got any luck." "What is luck?" asked Paul. "Is it money?" No, Paul, not exactly," Hester answered. "Luck helps you get money." "Oh," said Paul. He was trying hard to understand. "If you're lucky, you'll have money," Hester explained. "That's why it's better to be lucky than rich. If you're rich, you may lose all your money. But if you're lucky, you will always get more money." Paul looked at his mother's worried face. "But why is father unlucky?" he asked. "I don't know," answered Hester. "Nobody knows why a person is lucky or unlucky." Paul thought for a moment. "I think I'm a lucky person," he said. Hester laughed. "Why are you lucky?" she asked. Paul looked at his mother. "I don't know," he said. "I just feel it." "I hope you're right, dear," said his mother. "Mother doesn't believe me," thought Paul. "But I'm going to prove it." Paul went to the playroom and began to think very seriously about luck. "I want luck," he thought. "I want luck." While the two girls were playing with their dolls in the playroom, he sat on the big rocking horse riding backwards and forwards. The girls watched him with worried faces. The horse rocked frantically, and the boy's eyes had a strange look in them. The little girls were afraid to talk to him. At the end of his frantic ride, Paul climbed down and stood in front of his rocking horse. He looked into its face. Its red mouth was open, and its blue eyes were bright. "Now," he said firmly, "give me luck." He climbed on the horse's back and started to ride again.
"Slow down, Paul. You'll break your horse," said the nurse.
"He rides like that all the time," said his sister Joan. "Ask him to stop."
But Paul looked at them in silence and continued to ride. The nurse decided to leave him alone.
"He's getting too difficult for me," she said.
Chapter 2. Paul's New Interest. One day, Hester and her brother Oscar came into the playroom while Paul was riding the horse. Paul didn't speak to them.
"Hello, young rider," said Oscar. "Are you riding a winner?"
"You're too big for that rocking horse, Paul," said Hester. "You're not a little boy now."
But Paul didn't answer them. His mother watched him with an anxious look on her face. Paul stopped suddenly, and the horse slowed down.
"Well, I got there," he said.
His blue eyes were shining, and he was beginning to relax.
"Where did you get to?" asked Hester.
"I got to my special place," said Paul.
"That's good," said Oscar. "Don't stop until you get there. What's the horse's name?"
"He's got different names," answered Paul. "He was Sansovino last week."
"Sansovino?" said Oscar. "That horse won the Ascot race. How did you know that name?"
"Paul always talks about horse racing with the gardener, Bassett," said Joan. "He knows everything about horse racing, and Paul spends a lot of time with him."
Oscar was curious about his nephew's new interest, and he went to talk to Bassett.
"Paul is interested in horse racing," he said. "Does he talk to you about it?"
"Yes, he asks me about the horses in the races, sir," said Bassett.
"And does he ever bet money on a horse?" asked Oscar.
"I'm sorry, but I can't answer that question," said Bassett. "Why don't you ask him about it?"
"I will talk to him," answered Oscar. "I always wanted to bet on a horse, and you know a lot about horse racing, Bassett. Will you help me?"
Oscar took Paul for a ride into the country. They drove fast in the direction of Oscar's house.
"Do you bet money on horses, Paul?" he asked.
"Yes, I do. Why?" asked Paul. "Do you think it's wrong?"
"No, I don't mind," said Oscar. "I want to ask your advice about a race."
"Which race?" asked Paul.
"The Lincoln," said Oscar.
"Well, Daffodil is going to win the Lincoln," said Paul.
"Daffodil?" said Oscar. "I don't think you're right. He hasn't won anything before. What about Mirza?"
"I only know the winner," said Paul. "That's Daffodil."
"Daffodil?" said Oscar. "How do you know?"
"I'm lucky, Uncle," said Paul. "Please don't tell anyone about Daffodil. I promised Bassett to keep it a secret."
"Why does Bassett want to keep it a secret?" asked Oscar.
"We're partners," said Paul. "Bassett gave me my first 5 shillings, but I didn't know the winner then, so I lost it. Then you gave me 10 shillings and I started to win."
Oscar started to laugh.
"Okay, Paul," he said. "I won't tell anybody about Daffodil. How much are you betting on him?"
"I'm betting £300, said Paul with a serious face.
"I can't believe that. £300, said Oscar in surprise. "Where's the money?"
"Bassett keeps it for me," said Paul.
"And what is Bassett putting on Daffodil?" asked Oscar.
"He doesn't bet much money," said Paul. "He'll probably bet £150.
Oscar decided to take Paul with him to the Lincoln races.
"I'm putting £20 on Mirza," he told Paul. "And I'll put £5 on a horse for you. Which horse do you want?"
"I already told you," said Paul. "Daffodil will win."
"Don't put all the money on Daffodil," said Oscar. "You'll lose it."
"I won't," said Paul. "You'll see."
"Okay, Paul. I'll put £5 for me and £5 for you on Daffodil," said Oscar. "The horse is 4-1. Do you know what that means?"
"Yes," said Paul. "If we each bet £5, we'll each win £20. So we'll have £40 altogether."
Clever boy, said his uncle. You're very brave.
Chapter 3. Paul's Luck. It was Paul's first time at the races, and he was very excited. He watched the race carefully. A man in front of them had his money on a horse called Lancelot.
Lancelot! Lancelot!
He shouted loudly. Daffodil finished the race first, Lancelot second, and Mirza third. Oscar was very surprised. He brought Paul £20.
Bassett put my £300 on Daffodil, said Paul. I won £1,200.
Are you serious? Asked Oscar.
Very serious, said Paul. Bassett is keeping the money for me. You can be our partner too if you want, Uncle, but you must keep it a secret.
Well, I'll think about it, said Oscar. I want to talk to Bassett first.
The next afternoon, Oscar took Bassett and Paul to the park. They talked about the races.
Did you bet on Daffodil? Oscar asked Bassett.
Yes, sir, said Bassett, and I put £300 on for Paul.
Have you or Paul ever lost any money? Asked Oscar.
A small amount at the beginning, said Bassett, but now we don't lose much because if we aren't certain about the winner, we don't bet much money.
But we bet a lot when we're certain, said Paul, smiling.
And when are you certain? Asked Oscar.
Sometimes Paul just knows, said Bassett. He's lucky.
Where's Paul's money? Asked Oscar.
I keep it in a safe place, said Bassett. Paul can have it when he wants.
And he's got £1,200? Asked Oscar.
Yes, sir, said Bassett.
That's incredible, said Oscar. But I don't understand. How do you know the winner, Paul?
I don't know how, said Paul nervously. I'm just lucky.
Oscar decided to become a partner with Bassett and Paul. Before the Doncaster race, Paul was certain about a horse called Lively Spark and bet £1,000 on it. Bassett bet £500 and Oscar bet £200. Lively Spark was 10-1. The horse won the race, and Paul made £10,000.
What are you going to do with the money, Paul? Asked Oscar.
I'm going to give it to my mother, said Paul. I make money for her because she hasn't got any luck. My father works hard at the office all day, but he hasn't got any luck. I've got luck, and I want the whispering voice to stop.
What whispering voice? Asked Oscar.
The house whispers, said Paul. I hear it all the time, and I hate it.
What does it whisper?
Asked Oscar, surprised.
There must be more money, said Paul. There must be more money, because my parents have got a lot of debts. So the house whispers. It's horrible.
I know they have got debts, said Oscar. It isn't easy for them.
Well, maybe you can stop the whispering. I hope so, said Paul. But, Uncle, Mother mustn't know about my luck. If she knows about the bets, she'll stop me.
Okay, Paul, said Oscar. I won't tell her.
Chapter 4. A Birthday Surprise for Hester. Oscar gave Paul's money to a family lawyer before Hester's birthday in November. Then the lawyer sent her a letter. Dear Mrs. Jennings, a member of your family wants to give you £10,000. He doesn't want to tell you his name. He will pay you the money in 5 payments. You will receive £2,000 on your birthday for the next 5 years. Yours sincerely, K. L. Coopersmith. Paul couldn't wait to see his mother's face
when she received the money. But when she opened the envelope, she didn't look happy. She put the money in her pocket and didn't say a word.
"Did you get anything nice for your birthday?" asked Paul.
"It is quite nice," said Hester coldly. Then she left the house without saying anything. The whispers in the house were louder than ever, and Paul couldn't stand it any more. In the afternoon, Oscar arrived.
"Your mother went to the lawyer today," he told Paul. "She asked for all the money at once to pay her debts."
"Should I give it to her?" asked Paul.
"You must decide that," said Oscar.
"Oh, let her have it then," said Paul. "It's easy enough to get more money." So Oscar signed the agreement, and Hester received £10,000. Then something strange happened. The voices in the house went crazy. Paul's parents bought new furniture. Hester employed a tutor for Paul, and she reserved a place for him at Eton, the most expensive school in the country.
"There must be more money," the voices shouted. "Oh, there must be more money. Oh, now, now, now there must be more money. More than ever."
The voices frightened Paul. He studied hard with his tutor, but he spent most of his time with Bassett. The Grand National race came, but he didn't know the winner, and he lost £100. Then there was the Lincoln race again, but Paul still didn't know the winner. He lost another £50, and he was worried.
"What's happening?" he asked. "Where's my luck?"
"Don't bet any more money, Paul," said Uncle Oscar. "Forget about the races. You're becoming obsessed, and it's dangerous."
But Paul didn't listen to his uncle. "The Derby is next month," he said. "I must know the winner for that." There was a crazy look in his eyes. Hester started to worry about Paul.
"You need a holiday by the sea," she said. "Let's leave tomorrow."
"I can't go before the Derby, Mother," he said. "I can't."
"Why not?" she asked. "The sea isn't far. Your uncle can take you to the Derby from there. You don't have to be here."
"You care too much about the horse races, Paul. It's bad for you. The men in my family were gamblers, and they lost all their money. We all suffered because of it. Bassett is a bad influence on you. I'll tell him to leave. And Uncle Oscar mustn't talk to you about horse racing any more."
"Please, Mother, I'll go to the sea with you and Father," said Paul. "But let me stay here until after the Derby. And please don't tell Bassett to leave."
Hester thought for a few minutes. Then she said, "Okay, Paul, we'll go to the sea after the Derby. Bassett can stay, but promise not to think about horse racing so much."
"Don't worry, Mother," said Paul. "Everything will be okay."
Chapter 5. Paul's Secret. Nobody knew the secret of Paul's luck, not even Bassett or his uncle. His luck came from the old rocking horse in the playroom. When Paul rode the rocking horse, the luck came to him. He knew which horse would win the next race. The Derby was coming soon, and Paul was becoming tense. He didn't talk to anyone, and he looked pale and weak. His mother was very worried about him. 2 nights before the Derby, she was at a party in the city with Paul's father. Suddenly, she had a strange feeling about her son. She phoned the house and spoke to the children's nurse.
"Is Paul okay?" asked Hester.
"Yes, he's in his room," said the nurse. "He went to bed early. Should I go and see if he's all right?"
"No, it's okay," said Hester. "We'll be home soon."
Paul's parents returned home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Hester went up to her son's room, but it was empty. Then she heard a noise from the playroom. She opened the door quietly. The room was dark. Something was moving next to the window, and she watched in anxiety and fear. Then she turned on the light. Paul, in his pajamas, was riding the rocking horse in wild, fierce excitement.
"Paul!" Hester shouted. "What are you doing?"
"It's Malabar!"
Paul shouted in a powerful, strange voice.
"It's Malabar!"
Paul looked at his mother triumphantly, and then he suddenly fell to the ground, unconscious. For the next few days, Paul didn't wake up. He had a high temperature and he was delirious. All this time, his mother sat by his bed. She watched her son and prayed for his recovery. She thought of all the times she had been too busy to see him, to play with him, or even to talk to him. "I was always thinking about money," she said. "I didn't spend time with my children. I was a bad, selfish mother. But I can change, if it's not too late."
"Malabar! It's Malabar!"
Paul called out in his sleep, repeatedly.
"Bassett, I know! It's Malabar!"
"What is he saying?" Hester asked her brother.
"Malabar is a horse," answered Oscar. "It's going to run in the Derby."
Oscar spoke to Bassett, and they bet all Paul's money on Malabar. On the third day of the illness, Paul was worse. His eyes were open now, but he was in a wild trance. His temperature was still very high. Then Bassett came to see him.
"Maybe I can help him," he told Hester quietly. "I want to tell him some good news." "Paul," Bassett said in a quiet voice, "you were right. Malabar won the race. I bet the money, and you won over £80,000.
Paul's body relaxed and he smiled.
"I knew it. I knew Malabar was the winner," he said. "My rocking horse is responsible. It gives me luck and tells me the winner."
Then suddenly he sat up in bed and looked at his mother.
"I wanted to give you money to make you happy, mother," he said. "You're rich now. You've got more than £80,000. Are you happy now, mother?"
"No, Paul, I'm not happy," said Hester sadly. "I thought money brings happiness, but I was wrong. Now I understand that money's not important. The only thing that is important is my children. Please recover, Paul. Only that will make me happy. I want an opportunity to be a better mother to you."
That night, Paul's temperature was normal. Edward smiled at Hester.
"Our boy's going to be all right," he said.
"We're all going to be all right," answered Hester. "Now, please, Edward, help me carry that rocking horse out of the house. We don't need it anymore."